Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the CollegeToPro.com NFL Draft Blast.
Welcome back to another edition of the C2P. I am your show host, Bo Marchant. As always, we appreciate you guys stopping by and joining us as we bring you the next collection of tomorrow's NFL stars, and we bring them to you today here on the C2P NFL Draft Blast. And we have the NC Carolina Aggies standout Chiquelle Capel here on the C2P, who is also formerly with Appalachian State. But with that said, Chiquelle, we appreciate you sharing your night with us. Can you believe your collegiate career has kind of come and gone, and now you're preparing for the next level?
Not really. It kind of seemed like it went by fast, even though it was about 4 years, but it kind of went by so fast, I'm like, it's unreal.
Now, even now, you're a pretty freakish athlete. You got a lot of skill set. I mean, did you play Pop Warner or Pee Wee? And if you did, were you scoring 4 or 5 touchdowns every game?
Yeah, I started playing when I was in third grade. My friends was playing flag football. I never played flag. And then once I got out there, the coach was like, he's fast. So I played running back. And so we had three pretty good fast running backs. And so I was the newest one. So my first couple of years, no one really knew who I was at the Little League level. Like, they give me the ball, I scored more than other guys did. So, yeah.
And then you've kind of carried that tradition on of doing big things on the football field. So kind of take us through. I mean, obviously you go through high school, become a very, very highly touted kid as well. And then obviously off to Appalachian State, you end up at NC with the Aggies. I'm curious, I mean, what were all the different, positions that schools were looking at you as you kind of made this process? Because you're pretty versatile as well. You know, when you're leaving high school, you know, was it strictly receiver, or was there any other opportunities for any other position?
No. I played quarterback in high school. So my first – I had one offer in college to play quarterback, and it was North Carolina A&T. And coming out of high school, I think I was done playing quarterback. I didn't really want to play quarterback anymore. And so I was kind of looking where I could go play receiver. A lot of teams wanted me a receiver, defensive back. And they would ask me if we wanted to play defensive back. And I'm like, I kind of want to get the ball in my hand. I feel like I'd hit the team out more if I had the ball. And so receiver was just the next position for me.
Excellent stuff. And that's why we asked, because like I said, I mean, you're pretty versatile. And I'm sure schools were eyeing you up because you could do a lot of things, because that athleticism kind of, I think, is in that DNA that you got. Once again, the NC Aggie standout, Chiquelle Capel here on the C2P, formerly of Appalachian State, kind enough to talk some NFL draft with us. I ask all the guys that come on the show, I mean, if we put you in that film room and you're with some NFL scouts, what do you think they're going to love about you? I mean, what are those home run qualities where they're going to have to take a deeper look?
My playmaking ability. I think I'm one of the better playmakers. When I get the ball, I think I average 16 yards a catch. So I'm pretty good once I get the ball in my hand. So it's going to be like, well, this guy can really make plays. And I play hard. I think I'm probably one of the better blocking receivers, I think.
Nice. You know, I have you, I think, this year, what, you average, what, over 25 yards per catch this year?
Yeah, I think it might have been like 23, 24 catch.
Yeah, 23 or 4 catches and a 24 or, what, 25-yard average per catch. So, I mean, that's definitely big play ability and what you bring to the table. Let me ask you this question, because we do pass this off to all the scouts and coaches that we know at the next level. What goes unnoticed, Chiquelle? I mean, what are those qualities that these guys can't pick up on tape? I mean, I think, you know, you explained it yourself. I think your athleticism, your ability on the field speaks volumes to what you do. But what goes unnoticed? I mean, a team leader, maybe you're a film junkie. Maybe some of the things you did offensively in college didn't allow you to show skills you have. I mean, this is your time to kind of share with us what you think we need to know most, that, again, that we can't see on tape.
Good one. Leadership. I think I'm a very good leader, even though I don't always have to be vocal to lead. So I would say one of my better skills as a leader, like I could lead without actually having to say anything. And if I needed to say anything, I feel like I was leading good enough with my performance and my practice. I was okay with saying things in the leadership role. Secondly, I would say my willingness to learn. Because I learned my offense when I got there in North Carolina NT, and for grad school, I got here in August. and I had to pick the offense up from August, from the start of August to the end of August by the time we played. So within a month, I picked up the offense. I had to play quarterback, so I picked up the plays from a quarterback and receiver. I was one of the kick returners and punt returners. I had to pick up the schemes. I picked up all the schemes in a quick amount of time. So I think I'm a very good – I think I'm very coachable and very learnable. Another skill that I
had
that was unnoticed is, like, how hard I play. Like, I think I play real hard. I think I played one of the hardest. I practiced real hard. I learned how to make and create good practice habits. So I feel like those are things that you just don't see because of the film and things like that.
Awesome stuff. Once again, Jaquel Capel bringing it down here on the C2P, the North Carolina A&T Aggie standout. Talking about how, I mean, dude, that's why I love bringing you guys on and you guys sharing your time with us because, I mean, you know, just looking at your college bio or watching tape, we're going to never know unless we knew you personally where, you know, you arrived in August and you had to just kind of condense all that stuff in within a month and kind of, you know, and looking at your team and you can kind of shed some light on this because, you know, I try to pick up on what I can and watch some highlights and look at some numbers, you know, but it looked like offensively you guys really distributed the ball through the passing game evenly. I was looking, you know, at the receiver reception. I think, you know, 54, 30, 29. You, I think, had 24. So, I mean, it wasn't like one guy had, like, you know, 104 catches and another guy. I mean, the ball was really distributed evenly. Would you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, that's one of the harder things. Like when scouts come in and things like that, they say, look at this production, and they only have 24 catches. But then it's hard to say, like, well, you know, we had 5-6 receivers, 2 running backs that we could also throw the ball to. There's a reason we went undefeated and had the number one rushing offense and the number one passing offense. Like, it wasn't just one guy that we had to, like, force the ball to. So, like, what coach would do, that's why I played quarterback for him. So if we actually needed to get me the ball and we couldn't actually get it to me in the passing game or through the running game, I would just go to quarterback and, like, I'm going to get the ball on the snap. So things like that. And then we had, like, a tight end that was good that we could throw the ball to. That's why the numbers are so spread out because you could never key in on one guy. So, like, if you double-team one guy or you're playing coverage to one guy on one way, well, you're going to leave the other guy one-on-one, and they're pretty good. Like, I think our receiving corps may have been the strength of our offense.
Definitely. Again, a great explanation. And, Ken, kind of delving a little bit deeper, peeling back the layers of what you bring to the table and why NFL teams need to know more about you as we close in on the NFL draft quickly approaching. You folks know out there we'll be in Annapolis next week for the scouting combine, bringing you another – features with all the other prospects out there doing their thing, just like Jaquel is, he's doing his thing. We talked prior to coming on this, you know, show, we spoke briefly, but kind of take us into the mindset of how you're preparing for your pro day, where your pro day is going to be, and kind of, you know, what your weight and height right now, and just kind of, you know, everything that goes with being a prospect moving forward.
Okay. Right now I'm 5'10", 195. That's about where I played at. That's where I feel most comfortable and most powerful at to play receiver. And the thing that goes into it, is about Monday through Friday. Sets on Wednesdays, I'm in the pool. I got a pool workout on Wednesdays. The chiropractor. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday is probably about 3 to 4 hours of stretching, learning the drill. Well, I've been doing it so long, I know the drills, but perfecting the drills, learning my running technique, hitting my times and my marks, and trying to perfect my craft at receiver, learning how to get out my breaks, learning how to do this and that. So endless hours doing those things, trying to pay attention to your eating habits, sleeping well, you know. So I got to manage some of school work as well because I'm in grad school, so it's kind of taxing sometimes, but not always. So I have to manage all of that. But I feel like my time management skills are pretty good considering that I always came from undergrad. So things like that, trying not to get caught up in, okay, you didn't have a good day of training today, so how can you, like, bounce back and make tomorrow an even better day? So things like that that goes on scene as well.
Definitely. And pro day, where are you going to be? Does NC, the A&T have a pro day, or are you going to look to go somewhere else to kind of, you know, show off your combine skills?
We have our pro day April 2nd, 9 a.m. So I'll be here April 2nd, 9 a.m., ready to go.
April 2nd, 9 a.m. How do you approach that day, Jaquel? I mean, does it seem like it's maybe that mood changes day in day out, but does it seem like it's forever away, or does it seem right around the corner, or is it just perfect?
It's hard to say it seems forever away. Whenever I thought this moment of me coming to do the pre-draft stuff seemed forever away when I first left high school. So I wouldn't say it seems forever away. It kind of feels, I know when the time is, and I know what my body feels like and what it needs to feel like whenever it's at peak performance. So right now is not trying to get too hyped, I don't want to be at my best just yet because I still have time right now. So as the days start counting down, I want to get better and better. And by the time, like, 2 or 3 weeks out, I want my best and my fastest times, my most reps on my bench, because I need to be in almost tip-top shape. I need to be right there, tip-top shape, a week or two out.
Awesome, man. Awesome. And like I said, I mean, yeah, I'm excited for your numbers. I ain't going to lie. I've heard some good things. I'm excited about what you're going to be able to do when this day arrives and some of your physical moves. For you, I mean, what do you think your 40 year will be? I mean, what's a realistic time? I mean, you know, what would you be content with if, you know, if you didn't run your fastest 40, but you could say, hey, this is, I'll accept this.
Okay. Well, a little story about my 40 was I was a 4.37 guy two, three years ago before I broke my leg. I broke my leg. I got a medical red shirt. So I got ended up in ENT after I graduated from App. And, after coming back from the breaking the leg, my second year, I was a 4.4 guy. So if I could, if I'm a slow day for me, I think it would be 4.49. If I hit 4.49, I'd be like, I didn't bounce back all the way from the leg injuries I thought I would. And if I can hit 4.48 or lower, I feel like I did more than enough.
Nice. I like it, man. I'm glad you're honest too. I remember when I first got into this business, I remember an agent called me. He's like, I have this running back. He's going to run like a 4.2. I'm like, man, this guy's going to run 4.2. And I called the guys that I was working for, man. I'm like, I got this guy. He's going to run a 4.2. And they're like, nah, he's not going to run a 4.2. I'm like, nah, his agent said he was going to run a 4.2. You know, they're like, just wait and see. And, you know, rolls around, pro day rolls around. And, you know, I call the agent. I'm like, hey, man, I go, what's your guy run? You know, he's like a 4.62 or something. I'm like, whoa, you just don't – come on, man. So, yeah, but I take faith, and I know that you are a 4.3, 4.4 guy, but just kind of sharing some history on it's fun to hear a realistic 40 time.
I was never really a talker. Like, I got to be realistic at the end of the day. Now, I've been hurt before, so if I can beat a 4.3, I think I've been hit my times good enough that I could possibly get a 4.3, just about how I would hit it on pro day.
Nice. Excellent stuff, man. Once again, Capel here on the C2P as we talk some NFL with this young man. Do you get comparisons, buddy, to anybody? I mean, your teammates, your coaches, friends kind of say, hey, you know, we were watching the NFL on Sunday and this guy kind of reminds us of you?
Yeah. I get the guy from Kansas City, 10, Tyreek Hill. They think my game went out of my life.
All right.
So I'm pretty cool seeing that, you know, they don't really. I was here for a semester, and everybody thinks I kind of remind them of Tyreek Hill, that I could play kind of sort of like he does. I thought it was pretty neat. That's probably my highlight. I get him and a little bit of Dee Smith or D'Anthony Thomas. I'm like, okay, I like those guys, so I take it.
Nice. Okay, you know what? I got to go here now with the Steve Smith thing because you mentioned earlier that you love blocking. You mentioned you love blocking in the earlier show, and I always write notes as we do the show. I said the kid loves blocking. And then you mentioned your pro day. You said you wanted a good 40 time, but you also mentioned the bench press. That means, you know what, he likes to be bulked up a little bit. He's a powerful guy up top. And then you mentioned Steve Smith, who I think we all agree was fast and ferocious and fiery. Do you bring a little bit of that, a Smith, to your game?
Yeah, that's when I first realized I was going to change positions in high school. I was like, well, I'm going to have to be the tallest guy. I'm kind of one of the faster guys, so who can I be like? And I'm a huge Panthers fan. Like, that's my favorite team from the Carolinas. So Steve Smith, we had number 89. He's short. He was a 100-meter guy in high school. He was fast throughout college. So I'm like, man, I kind of play like that. And I like his ferocity, like how he played again. He's out there to win, and it's his team. And if you're not on his team, you ain't got the same color jersey on. I got to do what I got to do to get my win. So that, I think, that's kind of the mentality of our game. Like, game day Sunday, Saturdays come, it's me and my guys, and it's a war out here. Like, I'm giving everything I got to, like, to win, and I got to win.
Loving it, man. Awesome stuff, man. Man, I wish we could keep going, but we're almost out of time. But that said, though, we do like to throw a couple off-the-wall questions your way to end it on a lighter note. You ready to take a shot with some of those?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
All right. How about female celebrities, Jaquel? If you could take out any female celebrity on the planet, who are you going to invite to dinner?
Beyonce, without a doubt.
Just so you know, she is the queen of the show. We've been doing this a long time. I think 10 years, the only time that she was defeated, because we tally up the numbers, is Rihanna. Rihanna beat her one time, and other than that,
and
Rihanna or Beyonce.
That was my second choice.
I tell you what, all right, since you got the bronze, you got the gold medals in Beyonce, you got our silver medalist in Rihanna, you want to take a guess on who do you think usually, 9 times out of 10, she is our bronze medalist. Do you have any idea who that might be?
I'm going to say Gabrielle Union.
Oh, man, you're so close. She's like 4th, 5th. Megan Good.
Megan, I forgot about it.
Yeah, Megan Good's usually usually she's the bronze medals. All beautiful, talented ladies, but I hear their names above all. But Gabriella Union, she's definitely a qualifier. She's in the mix usually, but Megan usually, you know, kind of snaps her out of that final podium spot. How about this one, man? Your cleats, your spikes, what you're wearing, your feet. If you could have anything painted on there, because I know that's a big thing going on right now. Players love to have something on their shoes. What kind of idea or theme would you want?
I'm a Nike guy. I've always been in Nike. I played in Under Armour in high school, which is fine, but my college was always Nike. If I can have anything painted on it, I got 2 nieces and a nephew that I'm real close with. So if I could put anything on my shoes, it would probably be their faces or something to do with them. So if I finish playing in them, I could just give them to them, and they could be like, oh, my uncle really do love me, something like that.
Man, that's a great. That's my favorite question. I love when you guys respond to that question, because it just you just never know where it's going to go, and you learn so much about them. You know, I would have never found out that you had a couple nephews and a niece or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, the shoe question brings it out. And then the final one before we let you go tonight. Do you have a nickname? They call you anything crazy during college?
If they don't call me my full name, Jaquil, they probably call me Quill. My coach had a cool one.
Okay.
My receiver coach here, Coach Hester, when I first came in, he was like, so what you want me to call you? Like, you have a nickname. He was like, I can call you, because he called me Quill. And my last name was Capel. So I can call you QC. I'm like, oh, I like that, because one of my favorite rapper group was Migos, and they were signed to QC. So I'm like, oh, I can take that. Like, I said, that was a pretty cool name. So I like QC.
Excellent, man. I love it, man. Hey. You're a pleasure to have on the show. I appreciate you sharing your time with us. Best of luck on April 2nd and everything moving forward to that and everything after that date as well. But, hey, man, we always like to say appreciate your time. Stay humble, stay hungry, and be blessed.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
No problem at all, man. What a standout young man. That is Jaquil Capel, formerly of Appalachian State, North Carolina, A&T Aggies, standout wide receiver. And, man, did he touch base on so many qualities that he brings to the table. But the one thing I loved about what he talked about is, you know, the blocking and then the bench press and then him kind of getting after it and showing that tenacity at the wide receiver. Guy averaged over 25 yards per catch his final year and an offensive distributor of the ball amongst many. So, again, you can't look at the stats and say, what was these guys' numbers? I think that's where we get lost in translation with some of these guys is you just want to see 80 catches and 1,300 yards, but we kind of miss what's on tape, and that's what matters most. Scouts know it. Again, people out there kind of who like to follow the draft, you kind of get misplaced by just being a stat person. Again, if you want more at Jaquil, you go to Block Talk Radio, you type in his name, you go to iTunes, you type in his name, or you go to collegeofpro.com, and we're going to be having his draft bio page. As always, we appreciate you listening to the C2P.
This has been a collegeofpro.com exclusive.